revenge, I done did it all. Everywhere I go, I ball. Precise, keep my game tight, or for sure I fall. I'm the invincible one. Hey, man, we back in the building, man. What's goody, man? Scandalous Talk, episode 3, man. Saturday night, 9:30 Eastern, man. Come on, you know what it is,
what up,
man.
What up?
Going hard in the paint, man. Iceberg Slim, man. 1/3 of Fresh Out. We have the legendary DJ Scandalous in the building, man. What's going on with you tonight, man?
Nothing much. Just ready about to get into this, you know.
Yeah, man.
It's been 30 years since we got any real confirmation on who actually, you know, was behind Tupac's 1996 slaying. But now we might be heading in a good direction with that.
Yeah, man. Like I said, and thank you for the quick invite on tonight, man. Iceberg Slim, 1/3 of Fresh Out.
You're always welcome here.
Hey, you know how it goes down, man. Again, the house is packed, man. Of course, we got Power 800 up in here going crazy, man. Q Smooth is in here too, man. He's saying I'm so happy we got the Justice for Pac after all this time. It's a little bit too late, but it's whatever. You know what I'm saying? We also got Sure Shot in here. Of course, Ness is in here too. Salute. So again, man, we got a great show. But as everybody's coming in here, we got to have some good news real quick. I want to talk about this Billboard situation with Pac. If nobody knows, man, it's been 27 years since his slaying, but his music's still going crazy. He just got added to this exclusive list from Billboard, which is basically your album charting for over 400 weeks. Right now he's at 491 and counting, which is a crazy feat, especially for a rapper, especially a rapper who's not here, which shows the staying power, man, and the iconicness. I'm gonna make up a word, iconicness of Pac. You know what I'm saying? But what's your thoughts on this, DJ Scandalous, on just this feat? Again, the only rappers on this list are Kendrick Lamar, Good Kid, Mad City, and the Eminem Curtain Call.
Yeah.
So this Pac album is crazy, man, with 491 plus weeks. What's your thoughts just on that feat of just the fans showing how much they got, so much love for Pac, but also why do you think the mainstream isn't really giving him that love and the accolades of reaching this feat with the Greatest Hits album?
Well, actually, I think they did try to kind of give him some love with it. So the album actually came out in 98, and this was Tupac's Greatest Hits. So if you didn't know, Tupac's last album that he overseen himself was a Machiavelli album. And that came out 2 months after his passing. And then the following year, his mother was caught up in a lawsuit with Death Row Records, so they couldn't release a Death Row era album. So what they did is they went with Are You Still Down, which was 92, 93, and 94 era tracks. And that's why you got songs from the Me Against the World period, Do For Love, and stuff like that. So by 98, there were Unconditional Love was a big song on there, and that actually got like leaked out on the radio station before it was even released. And that's why we got that version on the actual Greatest Hits, is because that version came from the radio because they couldn't find the master reel. I suppose it's for Hammer, because the Unconditional Love song was for MC Hammer. Tupac wrote that himself for his own album, and then he just gave it to Hammer as a gift because he really wanted to see Hammer succeed on Death Row. So that album blew up because Unconditional Love, but also the song Changes. And Changes is an iconic Tupac song that everybody probably knows. It's probably one of his most recognizable songs besides California Love and maybe Dear Mama. It's played everywhere. When the riots were going on a couple of years ago, it was like the anthem of the riots, and he was back on the charts. It was like number 5 on iTunes. Greatest Hits was like number 7, being out Drake and Taylor Swift, which was an incredible feat, you know, and it just shows the staying power. So that song is actually from 92. It was recorded on, I think, December 31st, 1991. So it was kind of in the middle of Tupac's Now and his Strictly era song. And that came out, and a lot of people, I remember back in the day, like, people were saying, oh, they're just taking I Wonder If Heaven Got a Ghetto and just rehashing the lyrics and stuff, which wasn't even true, because Tupac actually recorded that song first. He wrote that song when he was 19 years old. And he wrote that song first, and then it was never released. I don't know if it was a sample clearance problem or he felt like it didn't fit Tupac's Now or Strictly, you know, his Troubles from 21 era album that was going to be released in 92 that they rejected because it was deemed too controversial. So maybe it would have came on air, but they rejected that whole album. So Tupac went back to the drawing board. He wrote Wonder If Heaven Got a Ghetto. And for the third verse, he just used a you know, some lines from, I think it was maybe verse 1 and verse 3 of that track. So that's why, you know, Tupac reused some of those lines, because a lot of artists, they just take songs and maybe they don't release it, but they build upon that concept and they'll just take lines from other songs or redo whole verses over new beats. And Tupac was no exception. It's just, we see that because he's passed on. But like, I remember like in 97 when they started Are You Still Down, I'm like, why are they going back to like pre-Death Row track when everyone wants Death Row? But it was a blessing because they got all those songs out of the way, and how they were able to maneuver a 92 track as one of your lead singles for a, you know, Greatest Hits album is so crazy. But it's partially because of the lyrics and because of the Bruce Hornsby sample is so iconic. But to have that album still resonate today just shows you the staying power of Tupac and how iconic he was and how much his message, you know, speaks to people all over the world. And I see that as a DJ, as a remixer, as someone that covers Tupac my whole life on YouTube and social media. You know, people may say I'm obsessive, but like you know, Tupac's message has touched me when I was a young kid. You know, I know that pause, but it touched me emotionally to the point where it gave me hope to, you know, keep on and find a new outlet to express myself. And I did that through music, and that, you know, that song Changes was very much instrumental to that, as well as Unconditional Love, which is my favorite Tupac song of all time. I think that's a complete masterpiece, and it would have been a waste just giving it to Hammer. If you ever heard a Hammer version, it's whack.
Salute the Hammer, man. So you know,
yeah, salute the Hammer. I love Hammer, definitely. But it just don't hit the same, because you can tell that message is so deep to his heart. And I think that's why his album, his songs has so much staying power, because he expressed himself on a deep level that not many rappers can do or will do, because they're scared of that. You know, Tupac was able to rap about his mother, ready to rap about pregnant women. And, you know, there was even like a song like 16 on Death Row where he was telling a story where he's like, I think he said his uncle touched him as a kid, but it was just a story. Like, you don't hear these type of stories by most rappers, and he wasn't afraid to speak out.
Back then they didn't do that either, you know, especially back then.
Yeah. So like, having this album, you had Hit Him Up on it, which was even on All Eyes on Me. It wasn't on Machiavelli. So that made that album sell. You had, obviously, I assume people may have thought Diet Man, that your music video radio version would have been on here, but it wasn't on here for some reason. But you got the explicit version. And then you had Troublesome 96, which was a big, like, popular song among the Tupac community, which was a 3-verse track over Nas' If I Ruled the World beat, but it's sampled a little bit differently by Johnny J. And if you've seen his House of Blues, he goes at Nas on the intro there. So he's like, I'm going to take your beat and I'm going to whoop your ass with it. Because they had all that beef about All Eyes on Me and the Street Dreams. And then, you know, Nas saying Fake Thug, No Love on the message and shit. So there was a lot of beef there. And it made Pac inspired to make Troublesome 96, which that's why that song came about. But like, to see that album still sell well just shows you Tupac is as iconic and not as overrated what people say. People say, oh, he's overrated. That's just a bias, you know, bullshit that people want to put out there. He wouldn't be, you know, he can't be overrated if he's still in the news more than Elvis Presley, more than Michael Jackson. Nice. And you know, a lot of people, it's kind of blasphemous to say that Tupac is right there with Elvis Presley and Michael Jackson. But when you look at the news past death, you know, Tupac is more in the news than both of these guys. And that's just facts.
Yeah, that's true. Again, like I said, this is a 25-year-old Pac, you know what I'm saying? 27 years ago, the music still resonates. And what's crazy, nobody can duplicate it. You know, you
and
have
only
a
5-year career.
Facts. And again, like I said, there's not any artists even now that basically have made classics or can remake even the stuff that he's done before.
Yep.
So again, this Greatest Hits album is still, like I said, I think it may be about maybe 500, maybe 495 as far as the weeks that it's been on Billboard. Again, a great accomplishment, man. You got to salute to Pac, everybody that worked with him. Again, the unsung heroes, the producers, the mixers, man, that made all this stuff happen. This album is basically classic. If you're under 40 and you haven't heard the Pac Greatest Hits, because I've talked to some people who, like, they still haven't even gotten into Pac yet, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Go check this out. Go stream the music, man, and listen to what DJ Scandalous is saying as far as the passion, the stuff that he can basically do and talk about that no other artists have done even to this day. So, again, that album has been, to me, is great, classic. You're seeing it with the numbers. Fans are still out here copping it, listening to it, streaming it. So, again.
And it went diamond. The only other greatest hits to go diamond is Eminem's Curtain Call, I think, right? And to have that album come out in 98, you knew that, you know, putting like all those Machiavelli tracks and All Eyes on Me tracks and Dear Mama, you knew that that album was going to hurt the sales of Me Against the World and All Eyes on Me. But you see, you just seen how much, you know, those sales increased over the years. You know, that one diamond, All Eyes on Me one diamond, Machiavelli still won like 6X platinum, probably more than that because that has been recertified since like 99. So it just shows like how much fan support this man has back then and even now.
Do you think right now he's like, again, I was asking you earlier about the mainstream aspect of it. Like, do you still like, I feel like he doesn't get the credit he deserves. You know what I'm saying? Of course, from the streets, of course, from the fans, but mainstream artists or mainstream outlets, man, I haven't really seen them reporting on this. And salute to, I think it was Hip Hop DX that I saw this on. You don't see it in the mainstream though, man. Is that because he hasn't been, they haven't been dropping a lot of music from his estate? Is that why? Or they can't make money off him? What's your opinion on some of the major mainstream outlets? Like, again, when Elvis does something, we just talked about, when Elvis does something, they're giving him crazy props. They bringing out merch and all this other stuff, man. But why not Pop?
Well, we all know, you know, Tupac's history with, you know, the East Coast and Bad Boy. So Tupac's always going to have some type of animosity from those types of fans that are Biggie fans or Bad Boy fans. And I feel like Tupac will never get his props for just being an overall artist, because I think that beef that transpired kind of overshadows a little bit of his career. But I think, you know, people can see how articulate he was with his storytelling and how, you know, deeply ingrained he was with his political message, and see what, how great he was as, you know, being an actor and also being a you know, a political figure as well as a rapper. Like, he was a very diverse figure, like you said, a triple threat, one of the very first. And we see with all his swag coming back in style, all the stuff he used to wear, one of the first rappers put, you know, Versace on the map for hip hop, you know. So Tupac's always been an iconic figure, and he's still being, you know, making iconic moves even when he's not even here. And I feel like maybe there is a little bit of bias towards Tupac because he is a West Coast rapper, even though born in Harlem. People don't want to acknowledge that he's born in New York, and he started out as MC New York rapping in Baltimore and shit, right? When they came out with that best New York rappers of all time, they said best New York rappers from New York. Right. Cardi B is not from New York. It's Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj is not from New York. Tupac is from New York, so why isn't MC New York on that fucking list? There's always a bias reporting when it comes in, but that's why I'm here. That's why Fresh Out's here. That's why, you know, my platform Rapverse and, you know, Scandalous Talk and, you know, DJ Scandalous on Facebook. You know, I'm going to come to you guys with you know, the hard hit news, the real news. And that's the way it has to be, because these outlets don't want to report on conscious rap. They don't want to report on rappers that storytelling. You know, Nas been on this incredible run, and he don't get much, you know, attention or even talked about. And, and people just want to hype up, oh, his album only did 20K, 30K. And Nas don't give a fuck. He just keeps pumping out the albums, giving you high quality music despite, you know, record sales. And that just shows what kind of artist he is. And with Tupac, you know, I feel like they suppressed his music because he was such a controversial rapper, but he was also a conscious rapper. And he rapped about things that people were afraid to speak about and put in their raps. And I feel like now, and I always say this when we talk about Tupac, that hip hop has moved towards commercialized rap. It's not so much about storytelling. It's not so much about artistry. It's not so much about what potential you have. It's about a TikTok, your theme song, and then now all of a sudden we're going to make money off of you. It's about a catchy hook. It's about repeating the same fucking lyrics for 3 minutes, you know, and most songs are not even 3 minutes anymore, you know, and there's not even many rappers even do three verse songs anymore. You know, the whole structure of hip hop is different. It's just about product placement. It's about making money off these artists, seeing where they could move these artists in other lanes and do like commercials and shit for Popeyes and KFC and shit, you know, Jack Harlow shit. That's what it's all about. So I think, you know, the record industry and the Tupac estate, and well, not so much the Tupac estate because there's a legal battle there, but Interscope Records and shit, they're afraid of putting Tupac back out there because they don't want hip hop to shift back to, you know, storytelling. And they know, and like, Tupac is more known now and then he was in 96. He's everywhere. You know, people in Africa view Tupac like a fucking prophet, you know, and that's real because I see it all the time, you know. And a lot of people say that if Tupac was born 2000 years ago, he'll be, you know, a prophet like Jesus and shit, which is kind of crazy because, you know, that's kind of blasphemy to say, but like, people hold him in that such high regard with the way he has helped people's lives. And I think, you know, hip hop in general is afraid of putting him back out there. And that's why they won't hire me and put out his music, because they know I would do, I'll clean up his legacy and put out music the way he envisioned it, the way he wanted it. And they're afraid of that. That's all it is.
Well, this is something too. They were interviewing Cardi B this week, and she said she was basically addressing why she doesn't put anything personal in her lyrics. It's probably because she doesn't write her lyrics. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, you know, if you actually put personal stuff in there, now you start capping. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not talking about things.
Yeah.
Everything Pac was talking about, you know what I'm saying, he did, he experienced, he went through it, or he saw it. You know what I'm saying? So again, like, it's hard to make a Nas, it's hard to make a Pac, but it's easy to make some of these cookie cutter artists who are just basically being a front runner for, like you said, a corporation. So again, I think that's why this music still resonates to this day.
And the other problem, like I said, if you're just going to TikTok, and I'm a record label, I'm going to TikTok, oh, there's this new rapper that has his hit song on TikTok, there's no guarantee that they'll be able to replicate that success, you know, on the radio or with multiple hits. You know, there's a lot of these rappers that are just one hit wonders, flashes in the pan. None have the staying power of like 90s rappers like Tupac, Nas, and Biggie.
Yeah. This is, again, man, if you just tuned in, man, we at Scandalous Talk, episode 3. The legendary DJ Scandalous holding it down always, man. It's number one source for all your Tupac news updates. Again, I'm being the gracious host tonight, man, with the quick invite, man. DJ Iceberg Slim, one third of Fresh Out. Again, we're here with DJ Scandalous. We're talking a lot of stuff, man. We had some heavy stuff go down, but want to talk about a few other things, man, too. Again, the album was epic, man. Still going hard in the paint with the Billboard situation, but...
So, Iceberg, before we get to that, let me know, what was your favorite track on Greatest Hits?
Changes, man. To me, like, Changes? The Changes was the heaviest one, man. Again, it basically changed the narrative for Pac. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Let's be clear. The narrative was always that he was this straight gangster dude, you know, basically the Bishop character. And the Changes basically, you saw it. And again, you talked about there were the Changes before the version that actually came on the album. So, again, like I said, to me, that's the one that resonated with me the most. And to me, represents how I want to remember Pac as well. You know what I'm saying? But again, like I said, if you just got in, hit the like button, smash it, share this with any Pac fans. Again, DJ Scandalous is the number one source for all Pac news and updates, man. But
and the reason why Changes was so good, and I'll tell you another reason, because it had the original sample. Like, they didn't just take a random beat and a random singer. It is a remix beat. It's by Trackmasters. If you know Trackmasters, he did work for Nas and shit like that. Yep. And he also did, I think, some other tracks, Until In Time for Tupac with the Broken Wings. You know that song because you like singing that. There but, like, Changes was an iconic beat, and Tupac actually rapped over that sample by Bruce Hornsby. It's just the version for 92 was darker and grittier, and the chorus was a little bit different, but it's very much the structure and blueprint that Tupac, you know, planned out. And they just took that and just built upon it. And that's why it's good. That's why Do For Love is such a great track, because Tupac raps over that same sample. You know, so, you know, we'll get into the talk of Tupac's unreleased music, but you'll see as years went on, the music started changing into sounds that Tupac didn't even fuck with, composed to songs that, you know, had the original beats or some layers of the original song.
Well, and like I said, I remember the last interview I saw with him, I think he was on a boat. He was talking about doing a song with D'Angelo, you know what I'm saying? Like something more laid back and more chill. So you saw the transition of Pac, you know, before his passing. But, you know, and this is why I think a lot of people still resonate with him, not only just his music, man, because, you know, you saw his development and his growth, you know what I'm saying, Paul? So, like I said, man, this album, if you haven't heard it, go check it out. If it's one of your, of course, it's a Greatest Hits, man, so you got to go check it out. So, again, let's keep those numbers running up for Pac, man, so go check out the Greatest Hits album. But again, like, before we kind of go into the heavy, heavy talk tonight, I wanted to kind of talk about the love-hate relationship, man, with our guy, the director, Alan Hughes. Iconic director, of course, but he was on Rap Radar the other day talking a little greasy, man, about Pac, man. I got a little clip, man, fair use, man, for educational purposes only.
Rock star of that era.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same era, he's on trial for murder. And thank God beats the case. And then you got all that little window with where Snoop dimmed his light for Tupac. I never understood that back then. I remember Snoop just dimming his light and letting Tupac shine when Snoop was the guy, you know? And then what happened after and what happened with Death Row. But the movie's Snoop Dogg, 17 to 27.
Straight cap. I have my sound effects tonight, man. I got my sound effects tonight.
Oh, man.
What's your thoughts, man, on the iconic director Alan Hughes, which he's been always connected with Pac.
I wouldn't say iconic. He has one good movie.
We're showing some love tonight. But the whole thing is, like, he's always been connected with Pac, but he has this thing of bigging up Pac, but still kind of hitting the blow to the belt at the same time. Dimming the light, Snoop dimming his light for Pac. Pac was the bigger artist at the time. Let's be clear. Mm-hmm. Now, Snoop was hot, but come on, man. Pac was Pac. Let's be clear. What's your thoughts on the director, Alan Hughes, man, kind of going a little greasy on this talk about Snoop dimming his life of Pac, and do you believe it's true or not?
It just seems like every damn week we're talking about this director that really hasn't done nothing the last 10 years besides do this docuseries on Tupac. It just seems like this guy just going off the rail. Everywhere he goes, he wants to talk about Tupac. And this is what I've been saying on, I think, on episode one of Scandalous Talk, maybe, and I said on Fresh Out Hip Hop, where we talked about this guy, you know, slandering Tupac for 30 years, saying, oh, Tupac's punches felt like Nerf balls. It wasn't Tupac that beat me up. It was 10 other dudes. He also said that Tupac went in jealous rage and shaved off all his head with a razor because of a female, which wasn't true. It's because he had alopecia from the police brutality that he suffered, you know? And this guy just been making shit up, slandering Pac, but still doing a series on Tupac, which I don't really understand why. And a lot of Tupac fans, you know, this is a great series. It is a great series, but this guy doesn't have to be going on Rap Radar and Hip Hop DX and all these other platforms and still talking shit about Pac. Don't you have other things to talk about? You know, talk about your movie career or whatever. It just seems like this guy's just using Pac to stay relevant. This guy made a career off Pac, and now he's using Pac to get back in the news and be relevant. And that's all it is. Now, if you want to talk about Snoop Dogg, Tupac already had Me Against the World as the number one album while incarcerated under Interscope Records. He wasn't even signed to Death Row. And he had Dear Mama, one of the biggest songs of that year in 94, 95. Come on, so let's be real. And Tupac was already in news from, you know, shooting two police officers. He was already in news for, you know, beating up Alan Hughes. He was already in the news for so many other damn things. He was already more known and relevant than Snoop Dogg. Now, even though Doggy Style was a great album and sold well, let's be real. Tupac was the most talked about rapper at that time period. So to say that Tupac went to Death Row and Snoop had to dim his light. No, what happened was Tupac went to Death Row and he outworked and everybody. Yeah, everybody. He outworked everybody. It took Snoop Dogg to make a new album in 2 years. It took Tupac to make a new album in like 2 days, right? This dude made like 10 albums in a week. That's how much, you know, this guy was a workhorse, and there's still unreleased music from this guy. So, you know, Alan Hughes could say all he wanted about this, but everybody knows that Tupac went there. And the reason why they started like saying, hey, Tupac, your album, All Eyes Me, is coming out. And why Tupac became a priority is because he was running laps around everybody at Death Row. And that's just real talk.
Yeah. And let's be clear, too. Snoop even said himself, he said, Pac came in and changed my whole wardrobe. He said, hey, man, we need to be dressed like gangsters. We need to be driving these kind of cars. We need to be doing this. Let's go in over here and get these tailored Italian suits. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, again, they went from white tees and Chucks over to wearing suits and stuff. So he actually changed his whole attire, which you saw that on The Dogfather. Let's be clear.
Yep.
So, again, I would have to argue with that a little bit by saying, hey, man, again, Pac was the bigger artist. Bigger name, he came over there and outworked him. Even Corrupt said, hey, man, he changed how we worked over at Death Row.
And it wasn't really Tupac's decision to say, hey, Snoop Dogg, your album can't come out. That was Suge Knight, and that was really Snoop Dogg. He could put that album out whenever he wanted. There was a whole time period before February when All Eyes Me dropped in 96, and there was a time period before November when Machiavelli, you know, dropped. He could easily move any of those songs that he crafted for 3 years, 2 years to drop at that period. It's just Tupac was an incredible workhorse, and that he made so many songs per day, and that's what it is. And then there was producers called the Whack Room producers that nobody wanted to fuck with. But as soon as Tupac started making the Machiavelli album, everybody wanted to fuck with him. Yeah. You know, it just shows like, you know, type of work ethic Tupac had and how he was able to take unknown talents and showcase them to the world, and everybody wanted, you know, to piggyback off that. Now, I'm not trying to hate on Snoop, but it is what it is. Like, having two American Most Wanted was good for Snoop. It put Snoop back out there when he didn't have an album in a couple years, you know, and all those features that they were doing, like Street Life and stuff, would have put him back out there. It was a win-win situation for Tupac to come to Death Row. It's like having a tag team, you know, Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan teaming up. You know, you're gonna get more publicity being together.
Yeah, facts.
And I always say that because T-Bizzy, you know, he's a big Hulk Hogan fan in my chat.
Shoot the T-Bizzy up in here, man. Salute. But again, like I said, at the time, man, like, again, we weren't looking at it like that. We weren't looking at it like, oh, man, you know, Pac is this or Snoop is that. It was like, hey, man, it was a great team. Like, that vibe cover said it all, man. Like, hey, we're going to take over the whole situation as a family.
Yeah.
And again, like you said, that was Suge. That wasn't Pac. But again, who's stupid to say, hey, man, let's still do a rollout for Snoop when we have the hottest artist coming out of the pen, man, going crazy.
Exactly.
With this whole situation, man, let's use the situation to big up everybody. Obviously, things happen, you know, at the end that were unfortunate. But at the end of the day, man, it was a great rollout, man. Again, Danny Boy benefited off all this situation as well, man, with a Slip and Slide record, man. I don't think it would be as big if he wasn't on those records with Pac. Let's be clear.
And that's the other thing. Like, All Eyes Me, it's not just a straight solo album. Like, he showcases everybody from Death Row, basically, you know, and all the singers on there, you know, Nancy Fletcher and stuff like that. They get a lot of attention by being just on Tupac's records. Yeah. You know, it's not really a Death Row, like, you know, get together album, but Tupac wanted to make the best music with the artist that he had there, because he was very much loyal to his label. As much as people want to say he was leaving Tupac, if you were working with him, he tried to make you shine. But if you didn't have your verse done, you weren't getting on the track, and that's the way it was.
No. And again, like I said, the reason why we have this Scandalous Talk, man, because we want to clear up stuff. So we're not knocking nobody, but you can't lie or recreate history by saying certain things on a major platform. Let's be clear. So this is why, again, this is why we had a Scandalous Talk. We talk about these things, man. Again, salute to Snoop. If you was out there and you was outside at the time, you understood, man. There wasn't no dimming no light, man. This was basically bringing more light to Death Row, bringing it back to the West Coast. Let's be clear, because the East Coast was running it at the time. And when Pac went over there, it just went bananas. Even like some of the artists that were on All Eyes on Me. What's my guy, man? That
was Sebo. Sebo was on there. Nate Dogg was on there.
What's my guy?
You had Method Man and Red Man on. Got my my made up.
That's not the guy I'm thinking about, man. He was on the album, man. Dang,
on which track?
Oh, man, I gotta go in here real quick, man.
What was it, East Coast rapper?
No, West Coast cat, man. All eyes on me.
E-40?
Nah, I went E-40, man. That was my guy, man. I'm mad about this too because I forgot his name. Something about the West Coast. Remember that dude?
I'm trying to think. I know what song you're talking about.
He was on the second disc, man. I'm loading my stuff up now. I'll think about it in a minute. But like I said, man, he basically set it off with so many artists.
Oh, Rappin' Forte. You're thinking about him?
Rappin' Forte was one, but that's not him either. I'm looking it up now, man. It wasn't Sebo. It wasn't Danny Boy. My guy, Richie Rich.
Oh, yeah,
Richie
Rich
album, man. Richie Rich went crazy, too. So Richie Rich even benefited off of him as well.
Ain't hard to find.
Yeah, ain't hard to find. He was on that... Rather be your N-word. You know what I'm saying? Yep. That was my joint. You know what I'm saying?
And he was on Me Against the World on Heavy in the Game track.
So again, like, all these artists benefited off of Pac going out to the West Coast and going crazy. Again, E-40 was in almost every E-40 video, man, at the time. So again, like I said, gotta call Cap on Allen Hughes, man. Again, I think there's some little bitterness, man. Because again, they started the interview off with Pac and then went into his stuff. So
I kind of get it that, you know, since he's just fresh off this docuseries and he's known for like Tupac's music videos and stuff, I can get like why some hosts want to speak about it, but like you can do it in a respectful manner. You don't got to say, oh, he dimmed his light and Tupac punched this way. You know, if you don't want to talk about Pac, don't talk about him. Don't take a series if you hate this guy. That's all I'm saying.
And shout out, man, to everybody in the building, man. Actually, Power 800, man, that Richie Rich. Yes, Richie Rich was going crazy, man. You know what I'm saying? So it was a real good situation, man, with everybody at the time, man. So, again, when Pac went over there, it just blew the whole spot up. Everybody was selling the records. So, again, we got to call Cap on that, man. Pyre's also saying, man, E-40 Spice 1, man, was going crazy, too.
And so, you see what happened when Pac died. Like, all the plans from Death Row were halted, right? Death Row East, all the signings that they were trying to get Wu-Tang and Mary J. Blige and, you know, getting Craig Mack, you know, they're going to bring him back in the Hammer album. You know, all that, it just shows you, like, how much he brought to the table. Like, he just went there and became, like, the Death Row president, basically.
Yeah. He was going hard.
And I think that's where a lot of jealousy, you know, comes about.
And to me, that goes back to the last question. To this day, I think there's still jealousy. You know what I'm saying? And this is why they don't celebrate him as much as they did, because he turned the whole industry on his side, man. Let's be clear. But again, speaking of turning somebody on his side, we got to talk about Faith Evans, man. I don't have my buns today, man. So shout out to Faith Evans, man. You know, iconic singer, man. Bad Boy, Biggie's ex-wife. But she said in an interview, man, last month, because we're actually going into October, that Biggie gave her permission to work with Pac. Hold on, let me play this real quick. Fair use.
Not radio, Raheem. Oh no.
Hey, Raheem.
We gotta rewind a little bit, real quick. In that moment of this, like. Because obviously niggas didn't know how serious it was to the extent of this shit going so far left. But at that moment, when you think of hip hop and you think of, you know, the being competitive and all these different things, like, what was your mindset in the middle when they throw you in?
This is before all this shit is in real time. You know what I'm saying?
Right, of course.
I remember hitting Big and telling him, I met your boy Pop. That was it. Pac had told me he wanted to work with me, which I was surprised at. Didn't know nothing about Pac being signed to Death Row. I just met him at the club through Tretch. You know what I'm saying? So the exchange with me and Pac had nothing to do with, in real time, it had nothing to do with what was really going on with Puff and Suge, which I knew nothing about until years later. You know?
Where's my effect? Like, what the heck? Like, how the heck do you say I didn't know he was signed to Death Row?
Yeah, that's straight cap, because everybody
knew
about
the vibe. And I didn't know
until
years later. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. What's your thoughts on Faith Evans still capping? It might be a little Richard. He ain't gonna have a drug. It might be a little joint, man.
I don't really know why she said years later. Obviously, when Pac died or Hit Him Up dropped, you would know. Like, that's not even a year later. That's a couple months later, right?
Facts. So she was only on Death Row for 8 months.
Yeah, and then Pac shouting out Death Row all over these tracks, dissing Big E. Obviously, she had to hear these, and if she's not, she's delusional or she just misremembering history. But, like, part of me, like, I guess I can understand that maybe she went out there and met and didn't know, and that's why she made a song, because it seems awfully weird that she went out to Los Angeles and whatever, made a song with Tupac when this was all going on, and especially when you're signed to a different record label, how are you going to get that cleared when you're featured? So I don't really know if Tupac, like, planned this and just, like, he knew that the vocals wouldn't be able to be used, but he still planned it. You know, he's infamously known for, you know, the art of war and studying, you know, the art of war shit. So maybe
now,
this
you
is
know,
where
you know, you he, remember he called the LA Times to come out to the studio when she was there too.
Yeah.
So
they actually met on multiple occasions, and this is where, you know, one time she said, oh, Tupac forced me to do this and whatever and all that shit in her book and shit. But yet she goes and she meets this Tupac again later in that month. It makes no damn sense. So I call cap on all this. And obviously, I broke down the history of this track, the Hit Him Up track, I think maybe episode one, and also on Fresh Out. And there might be some other videos of me on YouTube talking about Hit Him Up track. So what actually happened was when they were hanging out, they recorded Wonder Why They Call You B-I-T-C-H, right? Mm-hmm. For the All Eyes on Me album. Mm-hmm. There's an original version of that. Not to be confused with a 94 version, which is unreleased and has different lyrics and shit. But there is the original version for the All Eyes on Me album that has her on the chorus. So they recorded that. Then supposedly they hooked up. And around that time, Tupac says, hey, I'm using the Dennis Edwards sample. Mm-hmm. Don't look any further for Hit Him Up. Mm-hmm. And there's a totally different version of the Hit Him Up song with different Tupac lyrics, different, you know, outlaw verses. And it has a different, a new verse by Storm, which wasn't even on the final version. The beat is slightly different. And this was for the All Eyes on Me album. Tupac didn't even use it, right? Yeah. So Tupac told her, I'm going to do this song. And then Faith went back to Biggie and told Biggie about the sample. And Biggie made a version of Get Money Remix. And Tupac got pissed off. So he said, yeah, I'm taking that track back and I'm going to flip the sample again. I'm going to come out more potent and I'm going to take that line you said about get money. And I'm going to say, take money on my shit. Mm-hmm. So she's the whole reason why I Hit Him Up was created. She's the whole reason why Hit Him Up came out. She's the whole reason why Hit Him Up had all that you know, slandering a Biggie on it. And I don't think she wants to accept that. So she's trying every which way to get out from under the rock that she had any type of involvement in Biggie dying, you know, because, you know, Biggie getting caught up from Pac, you know, a lot of people think it's connected. So like the whole hit him up thing kind of transpired that.
Well, and this is the thing, Scandalous. It's been 27 years. Why would she not just say, hey, man, like, yeah, this was this. And I did do this. Like, no, nobody would care at this point, right? Like,
I think it's because once you say a lie, you got to keep covering up those lies. Because then if you go back on it, you just look like a big sellout and a big liar. And
but there's too many people now. There's too many outlets. You know, there's so many situations on YouTube, so many people on here that are basically saying that, yo, I saw her in there. We know this. We can go look at dates. You know
because
what I'm saying?
The problem is, because if she does that, then people like me, well, not even me, will pick her apart on this and blame her for Biggie. I think that's what it is.
So it might look like that Biggie's death was because of her dealings.
Yeah, so like Hit Him Up was because of her. Tupac would never came out with that Venomous version if she didn't go and try to steal Tupac's beat and shit, because Tupac told her she went, and then Biggie made to Get Money remix, and that came out, I think, maybe around All Eyes Me, maybe a couple months. So somebody corrected me on that, maybe Power Ken. Yeah. But then Tupac came out with Hit Him Up a couple months later, you know, and around the summer, you know, spring of 96. And, you know, that's really what it was. So if she didn't do that, that song wouldn't exist in the way it was, and that Hit Him Up would have been left unreleased from the All Eyes Me album, the original version. So if she goes and she admits it, then people are going to bring that up and say, hey, why you go out there and do that? Why have you been lying about it? You're just as much as blame as Tupac, you know, for Biggie's death now. So, you know.
Well, and this is the thing. She's moved on. She actually married his producer, Stevie J, which is already even crazier. So it lets you know how she maneuvers out here. I get my buttons over here. Mm-hmm. But again, at some point, I wish... We're going to be talking about the Keefe D situation, but I wish she would actually kind of solve some puzzles as well. Because if her and a couple other people from the East Coast, Bad Boy, C's been out here capping a little bit. D-Rock's been capping a little bit to try to keep that Biggie legacy so they can get a check every year.
All of them
if they stop lying, we can actually get to some real stuff that was really going on at the time. Because, again, this next topic that we're talking about has a link to it, which is Puff. You know what I'm saying? And this is you look at what happened, but you have to understand the whys, right? So the why is, hey, man, these dudes about to put us out of business. Mm-hmm. We're not even cool no more. So if there's no cool factor, we can't sell these albums. And this dude is killing us. So what we going to do about it? You know what I'm saying? And then you got this stuff that happened with her that wasn't even on the table. So now they got more ammo on the Hit Him Up. But the Hit Him Up is still venomous, like you said, to this day. And it starts with her. You know what I'm saying? Which was, they were already losing. So, again, like I said,
Do you think Hit Him Up would be as iconic if he didn't have that line about banging Biggie's wife in it? That's a good question there.
No. Because, again, it started with that. You know what I'm saying? And then it started the whole rumor mill. Because, again, you didn't have the internet. You didn't have any kind of iPhones back then. This is straight rumors. So even if it was a lot, just like you said, that Machiavellian mindset that Pac had, which is, I'm going to use your woman. And you guys are already separate anyway. And at that time, he was with Charlie Baltimore. Walking around with her, hanging with her. So
and he wasn't even with Lil' Kim.
And, yeah, of course. So at the end of the day, like I said, one day, hopefully, all these people who kind of keep Biggie on a certain level, and of course, he has respect, but they keep the lies going, not Big or anybody else. Because again, that night that he passed or he got shot, he was going to see Heather Hunter and Janet Jackman. Let's be 100. You know what I'm saying? So, and again, there's also things where they said even Quick was involved. You know what I'm saying? So again, there was a lot of key situations that were going on, but it started... Or at least it, the fuel to the fire was his Faith Evans situation. And Pac used it, man, as a hot poker to stab everybody at Bad Boy Records, man. And also maybe even to create the situation that we're going to be talking about next, which is why you guys are here tonight, man, we're going to be talking about this Keefe D situation in arrest. Now, we've been knowing for a while that they've been looking at Keefe D. He's been dry snitching, wet snitching on himself for the last couple of years, try to write a book, man. He's been basically out here almost like freelancing, man, information, man, immunity, you know what I'm saying? Because, again, now we know he talked to L.A. law enforcement, so I guess he thought, man, I have immunity. I can talk about whatever I want. But obviously that didn't happen this week. Let me play this real quick, fair use.
The murder investigation of Tupac Shakur has seen an unexpected break after Las Vegas police have arrested a suspect in connection with the rapper's 1996 death. According to the Associated Press, Dwayne Keefe D. Davis was arrested on Friday morning, September 29th, although it's unclear what charge or charges he is facing. This marks the first ever arrest in the investigation into Tupac's murder, which has remained unsolved for 27 years. The development comes a little over 2 months after police raided the home of Davis's wife. Las Vegas police said at the time that they were searching the house as a part of the ongoing Tupac Shakur homicide.
So we know he got arrested. He got charged for being involved in the shooting and the death of Tupac 27 years ago. Now, Scandalous, we know you the one and only, the oracle as far as this information. What's your thoughts on this crazy development? Because we never thought he was going to get arrested. We just thought it was just some cap. They're going to go in his house.
Yep.
Do nothing, and then it's going to be nothing. But what's your thoughts on the actual arrest? Is this cap? Is this just nothing? Do you think he'll actually get charged at some point? What's your thoughts just on this before I go into the other question? And also in the chat, what y'all think too in the chat too?
I think your guess is as good as mine, but like if you remember when we talked on episode 1, I think there was a KVD topic, and we said that it's probably just smoke and mirrors, you know, that they just want to make some headlines and stuff. It's hard to fathom that they could actually prosecute this many years later, almost 3 decades. So, you know, we see it now today more than ever because, you know, DNA sampling and shit, when people upload their DNA to Ancestry websites and stuff, now they could track all these potential serial killers and shit like that because they have cousins or nephews or people that upload their DNA. They find a partial match. But the difference here is that we don't have no DNA to prove who was sitting in what seat. We don't have no, you know, murder weapon. We don't have nothing like that to prove, you know, who was holding the gun. So like a lot of people say so-and-so was in this seat and this seat. All they know is that Keefe D is feeding them these lies or disinformation, telling them what they want to hear. So like if I'm Keefe D, I'm not going to say I did it. The best way to get around it is you say that somebody did it that's no longer here, that right. A dead man can't talk, you know, and they just got to believe what
T.I. said the same situation with his cousin. Remember, he said, oh, yeah, I'm going to let the cousin say he did it. Cousin was dead, so I'm going to say he shot him.
So everybody knows, like, everyone, I think, has a clue about what happened. You know, obviously, you know, there was a beatdown at the MGM with Orlando Anderson, and his uncle, Keefe D, was a gang leader of the Southside Compton Crips. And you know, basically when Tupac was leaving the MGM and shit and going to the House of Blues Club 662 for the Mike Tyson, you know, post-match, you know, party, you know, that's when it happened. And it just so happened that, you know, Tupac was stopped at a light because some girls were talking to him and the girls were shouting out Tupac. And that's how Keefe D and everyone in the car, you know, heard him. And that's, you know, it just random luck and chance, if you want to call it luck. I don't want to call it luck, but chance. But, you know, everyone has known that Orlando Anderson was involved in this since 98. Right. So it wasn't a big mystery or thing. So all these people are saying that, you know, all these platforms are saying, oh, I helped solve the case. And it was me that, you know, solved the Tupac murder. They're straight capping because everyone known Orlando Anderson and his uncle have been involved. It's just the Las Vegas police and the LAPD didn't have no concrete evidence to support this. So they just waited. Right. They waited for this man to keep capping or, you know, keep talking, you know, flapping his gums on all these social media platforms because Keefe D thought that he was protected by an agreement, which basically gave him immunity, which was so far from the truth. So the police, I don't know if they
played
him. They played him. What he signed was that, you know, he'll tell him information in 2011 around then. And all that information that he tells him cannot be used for, you know, incriminating him. But, it, you know, obviously, if you go out and you go on radio and you say, oh, I did this, or you go on a podcast, you say, I did this, that's a different circumstance because that's not within the confines of that testimony. So that's how they got him. Because so he started going on all these platforms 2018. He wrote a book and they just, and I feel like this is why they kept waiting and waiting. And people say, why did they wait to 2023 instead of 2018? Because they kept waiting to get more information so they could have just stick to him. So we'll just see how this plays out. You know, obviously, if they had a court order to go raid the house, that's been 27 years after the fact, and you know the shit's not going to be there. Obviously, there has to be something there, whether, you know, he was bragging or showing people that he had bullets or something. Because, you know, there was this other YouTube channel. I can't remember the name. Sorry about it. But there was this other YouTube channel where this guy said that he may have been bragging to his homies that, oh, you know, I did this to Pac and I had this and this. And obviously he could have bullets from the actual gun still, because, you know, when you're shooting, it's going to go off in the car. It's going to kick back in the car. So if they have that, you know, then he's as good as done. And I think maybe he's not even the big fish that they want. And maybe they want him, you know, to spill the beans on somebody.
Well, and let's be clear, there's no immunity for murder. Let's be clear.
Yep.
So the other situation boils down to, he also was snitching on Sean Puffy Combs. So he was saying, hey, if I got half of that money that he promised another person, then hey, I would be straight. I would have been X, Y, and Z. So again, I've seen a couple YouTube channels basically saying, hey man, there's no way they're going to implement Puff in this situation. There's no way they can prove it. They're not going to use this scumbag who's basically been capping for a while and that's a scammer to basically bring down somebody who brings in money like Puff. But let's be clear. He lost that deal with the weed dispensary. That was a $100 million deal. He lost the Diageo situation. That was a $100 million situation plus. So he's not bringing in the money that he used to. So he's not as valuable as he was to the conglomerates, the 1% before.
And it makes you wonder why he gave back his publishing rights to his artists when he's losing money.
Right. And then also we saw WAC 100 also say that, hey, man, he's shook right now. You know what I'm saying? Puff is shook because he knows, man, he's out here, man, by himself. He's that dude, man, with the Joker brought back, the banker dude in Dark Knight, man. You know what I'm saying? It was like on the TV screen. You know what I'm saying? So, again, Sean may have an issue, man. What's your thoughts on that angle, too? Because, again, I saw Fredo Starr, man, talking about this the other day, man. A lot of cats know what's going on, but because of street code, nobody says anything. But, again, QVD basically implemented himself because, again, you're an accomplice. If you're in the car, you're still going to jail. Don't matter what exactly. You do. So, again, what's your thoughts on the Puff angle as well?
So, with the whole QVD situation, you know, I think he was just not privy to the whole contract that he had with the government. He didn't know, like, obviously, if I go out here and say this, that I could be in trouble with this. He felt like maybe I had complete immunity if I help you with solving this crime, or I help you with the Biggie situation. Because so a lot of people think these crimes are connected. If you solve Pac's, maybe you might solve Biggie's. Yeah. So with Puff Daddy, you know, I don't want to go off the deep end with the Puff Daddy, but there's a lot of people that believe that he may have put a hit out on Pac. And there's a lot of people that been talking about maybe he paid one of the other people in the vehicle that is no longer here. So there's actually no proof. So it's going to be hard to prove whether or not, you know, Puff Daddy is linked to this. If they somehow, if QVD has some information that maybe he's been holding on for a rainy day in case he gets tied up in this ship, I don't know, you know? Right. So maybe they're hoping that QVD does have information that he can actually give him that he didn't give him before. So that maybe that's why they're trying to pin him up. But I think it's just crazy that there's all this, you know, rumors still going out there with Pac. We know he did it. You know, people still want to blame Suge Knight and shit now. You know, you owe Suge Knight an apology. Most fans owe that dude an apology because he basically made him into the boogeyman. When now we already know the four people that did it have no connection to Suge Knight, you know, and have more connection to Puff Daddy.
Puff, yeah. And again, like I said, we're not going off the end with it. Like, even like Pirate 800 saying, man, Mark Curry's still speaking on that, man. We know Gene Deal, our guy, man, he's still saying the situation, man. But also we have, you know, other cats who think, man, hey, man, this is deeper than that. But I think, man, honestly, it was some basic stuff, man. Again, we don't want to go into the Koofy moments and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, man, some events happened. Pac lost his life. like you said, just a random just occurrences that basically just happened. And but somebody's got to pay for it, man, and nobody has yet. So
again, yeah, and that was just wrong place, wrong time for Pac. Right. Pac shouldn't have been in that situation. Mm-hmm. Suge Knight shouldn't have been dealing with that, because you see all these other big time billionaires and people that, you know, went from being owning a record label to now having $1 billion, like, because they ran their business properly, they got away from, you know, the mob, you know, ties and shit like that. Like, Pac shouldn't have been moving like that. He should just been focusing on music and his movies and shit, his concerts, you know, and he would be a multi-billionaire today if he did that. Yeah. But it is what it is. He got bailed out by Suge Knight, and I feel like he felt like he was pressured to show his loyalty and shit like that Death Row and Suge Knight, and that's what happened. It just so happened it was a Crip, and obviously we know what happens when shit like that, people mm-hmm. take you out for far less, and that's exactly what happened. Now with KVD, it's just, the guy just felt like he had immunity, and now he just wants to talk on it and just, you know, basically profit off of it. And that's why I say on my Facebook, you know, a lot of people want to give praise to the people that helped, you know, take this guy down. And it's great for being a Tupac fan. It's great for, you know, Tupac's family, Mopreme Shakur and his sister Set, that are finally getting some closure and having them be able to know what happened and why. It's definitely great. But like I said, you're not really a Pac fan if you help pay Pac's killer to put all this news out there, and that's what it is. And then, you know, I'm just going to say it. Vlad TV wants to go out there and say that he solved this case, but then he wants to act like he don't have no links to the police. But you basically put your guest in the hot seat and basically got him pinned up, and that's what it is. Yeah. So if you're building a brand and you think, oh, everyone's saying I have ties to the police and I get all my hosts, you know, arrested and shit, why are you still going to do shit and take credit for something that's going to make you look even more like a narc than what you already were?
Yeah,
that's just bad marketing, bad business strategy right there.
But the crazy thing, people still going up and still,
yes, people are still going up and doing it
and still talking reckless and greasy too.
And so, he even said that, you know, the feds came to my spot and trying to get, you know, information out of him. Mm-hmm. But they don't need to do that because the information is already on your channel. And then he went and said, oh, I don't edit nothing in my videos. And that goes back to what I was saying, that he has no type of moral integrity for his host mm-hmm. on his platform to like be like, hey, you shouldn't say this on here. You know, I want you to be a return customer. You know, right. I don't want you, if you go to prison, you know, you can't come back for interviews. Like, right. What if he did this to Boosie Badass and shit, you know? But like, people aren't taking it that way because he helped solve one of the most iconic crimes in modern history. Yeah. But it is what it is. He used the situation. He paid the Tupac's killer, and then he profited off hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe millions of dollars off of this. Now he wants to take credit for something that people already knew. It was already in the book that Keefe D put out. It was already in Death Row Chronicles. So no, he did not solve this. It's just so much that his YouTube channel put out more information for the feds to use. The feds already knew this. It was already out there. So I call cap on Vlad TV. I call cap on all these people trying to take credit. Everybody already knew this shit.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, Vlad's been on that joint. He didn't solve anything to me. Just Keefe D just kind of put himself in his own trap.
Yeah, self-snitching.
Sure Shot's basically asking, so he had immunity in L.A. but not in Vegas.
That could be it, too, because if you're working with one district, you're not going to have immunity everywhere else, you know?
Mm-hmm. So,
but, you know, he still was outside the confines of that original testimony, so it doesn't matter where he said it, you know? He could still get pinned up for it.
What do you think of Mama Bear saying? Mama Bear saying, no doubt, the timing of this with the Dear Mama documentary, the Hollywood star presentation. Is
it could, because I think they were, I think these platforms were using clips and old clips of Keefe D more, because Tupac was more in the news for the Dear Mama documentary and the Hollywood mm-hmm. star. So they were still pumping out all these clips, and you know, mm-hmm. the feds were just raking it in, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like I said, the arrest happened. He's been charged. He's been released, from what I've seen.
Well, actually, I only heard the mugshot was released. I didn't hear that he was released. So maybe not.
Okay. So, again, like I said, we'll see what's going on. This is why, again, man, we do the Scandalous Talk once a week, man. We're trying to lock down a day, of course. But, again, like I said, come here. This is your number one spot to get all the real Tupac news. Again, man, this week has been a little bit buzzing because of this arrest. But, again, it almost just adds more fuel to the fire, because there's no, again, in the video that we just showed, they really haven't shown why they arrested him, other than just him mm-hmm. mouthing off. So again,
and that's probably a good strategy, because you don't want to, you know, show your hand before you get to court and shit. So maybe they're holding back a lot of information. Maybe they were able to collect stuff on that raid that they haven't talked about. Maybe they got other witnesses to connect QVD, you know, and it's not like, you know, it's not like QVD can now flip and say Suge Knight was behind it, because Suge Knight could say, hey, I seen you with the murder weapon. So like, there's no way for QVD to get out of this unless they don't have enough, you know, credible evidence.
Yeah. But again, what's your final thoughts on this before we kind of go on, man, and land this plane tonight?
You know, I'm just glad as a Tupac fan that there is some type of closure here. It's been long overdue, and I'm really happy for his family that now know why and what happened. But, you know, and I'm kind of glad because now we could put all these theories that he's alive in Cuba or Suge Knight did it or the FBI did it. Now, you know, there's still people saying the LAPD did it. And I think there is some type of connection that maybe it could be government related as well, but that's still conspiracy because they did have Tupac under surveillance the last week of his life because they viewed him like a controversial figure on the level of Malcolm X, you know, and the reason I say Malcolm X, because even though people want to compare Martin Luther King to Tupac, Tupac was more aggressive and he had a more of a radical approach, much like Malcolm X. And I feel like
a fan base too.
And a bigger fan base. He could reach people with his music. He was a Hollywood star. So the FBI already was watching him. So I understand that the whole situation where they want to say the FBI and stuff was behind it. And obviously the FBI, if you know their history, they took down a lot of Black Panthers without warning, Mark Clark and shit. So I know all about that, but that's for a whole different type of podcast we can do. Like, obviously, you know how big of a threat he is, so they're going to watch him. I just don't know the government had to do anything at that point because Tupac was putting himself in harm's way with all these different, you know, gang related activities. And it's just what it is, which is very sad.
Yeah, well, like I said, man, again, we've been talking about that QVD arrest that happened last week. So we'll see what's going on, man. We'll see what's going on with everything, man. But, again, stay locked to this channel. DJ Scandalous on the road to 1 million subs. The Scandalous Talk channel, man. Again, we're growing everything over here, man. Rapverseman.com. Go over there and get all your rap news. But before we get out of here, man, we always want to leave you with something kind of new that you maybe haven't heard before from Pac, man. Go ahead and introduce that, DJ Scandalous.
Yeah, so on the second episode of Scandalous Talk, we broke down a new series, a new segment of each of my podcasts that I'm going to do at the end, where we display an unreleased Tupac song, and I said this. And Aaron, I also made a post on my Facebook of over 80 unreleased Tupac tracks that haven't been officially released. A lot of them are totally new. Some of them are alternate versions, like you have a track, Life So Hard for Snoop Dogg, that was on in one of his soundtracks, but he has an earlier version over a different beat, a Led Zeppelin sample that sounds way better. A lot of fans love that version more. There's a lot of different versions from like songs like Who Do You Believe In? He recorded 2 years earlier, some with different lyrics, some with the same lyrics. And it just shows how many songs that Tupac have. If you go to my Facebook, you'll see it. So each week or each podcast episode, I want to highlight an unreleased song because I want fans to realize what's real, what's the original version, what hasn't been officially released, what we can look forward to, and just show the Tupac estate what they're fucking just, you know, wasting time on and not putting out. And you have this Dear Mama series, you have the Hollywood Star, you have this QVD news. Tupac is bigger now than ever. And then that's so crazy to me because when the Coachella thing happened, I'm like, oh, Tupac is it's one of the biggest rappers. Again, he's plastered everywhere because of his hologram. And I was like, this is a perfect opportunity to put out, you know, an album. We didn't see it. So now fast forward 11 years later to have Tupac even be more known and more iconic and more talked about than that. It just shows his star power that everybody, you know, Drink Champs and Vlad TV and Our Dialogue, all these channels cover Tupac and talk about Fat Joe, you know. Everybody has a Tupac story. Now, some of them could be capping. Some of them could be real because Tupac was everywhere. You could find thousands of pictures of this guy in the 90s before we had camera phones, which is so crazy. Like, his whole life was documented. In a short 6 years, 5 years, he's documented more than people with 30-year, 40-year careers, which is astonishing. And I just want to highlight what, you know, music that is still left remaining, because a lot of people say, oh, he doesn't have another song. He doesn't have enough for another album. Oh, he only has two albums because he was just awarded, his estate was just awarded that. No, this guy has 130 unreleased plus tracks and songs I don't even know exist, and songs I haven't even heard yet. And I heard I've listened to a lot of unleaked Tupac songs already because I collect shit. And, you know, it just is what it is. But so this track here on the first, well, the second episode that we did this on Scandalous Talk, I talked about a song called Grab the Mic, which was original version of Staring Through My Rear View. The real track, the real song title of that was Through My Rear View. It was produced by Johnny J. It has three different verses, a chorus sample by Rakim, and has a, it's just very inspirational side of him. He basically kind of talks about how, you know, it, basically his screenplay where he had about Live to Tell, he references that in that track as well. It's very much different than the, you know, official version that you may know of. So there's a lot of songs in Tupac's Vault where he has the same song title, but it's a totally different track. Like, and you have songs like Changes and I Wonder If Heaven Got Ghetto that we talked about earlier that share some of the same lyrics, but they're totally different songs. So there's another song that's mm-hmm. in his vault that I want to highlight that should be Tupac's next single. Now, obviously, if I was going to do a Death Row Era album, I'll spread out some of the singles. Like, I might have Grab the Mic on one album. Yeah. And I might have some, you know, Tongue Kissing or something on a different album and this song on a different album, because you want to highlight most of the singles on different releases, because you don't want to, you know, waste your load on one album and not have nothing else in case you want to have a future album come out. So I'm not really sure if I'll put this on the first album or second album. Obviously, Grab the Mic will be my first single I will release. This track here is called Reincarnation. It's a 90. It was actually recorded like June 10th of 96. Now it's right before the One Nation sessions and a month before Machiavelli sessions. Mm-hmm. I believe this was produced by Johnny J. It might be partially produced by Tupac, but the real name is My Only Fear Death. And if you're familiar with Tupac, he has a track on Are You Still Down called Only Fear Death. And that just shows you again how he has two titles that are very similar, but they're totally different songs. So the song name that fans mostly know of this track is called Reincarnation. I want you to listen to the overall intro where Tupac talks about why he wants his music to be heard.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think I can hear it. Can you hear it?
You can hear that?
It's very low. I don't know if the chat can hear it. Can the chat hear that?
Put it in the chat if you can hear that. Keep on playing it.
Yeah, they're saying no.
Okay. Let's see what we can do.
You probably got to open the window.
Let me add it to the stage. There we go. How about that?
Yeah.
My only fear of death is reincarnation. My only fear of death is reincarnation. I use my last breath to reach the whole nation. How can they call me murderer? For my spoken words, this composition be my prophecy. I hope it's heard. My only fear of death is reincarnation. I use my last breath to reach the whole nation. How can they call me murderer for my spoken words? This composition be my prophecy. I hope it's heard. Hard words are spoken, many promises broken, as if it's useless to hope. It got me constantly smoking. My role model was a gold bottle of OE, surrounded by my closest homies, but nobody knows me. I pray to God it ain't easy. Half the cops in California got a hard on to squeeze, man. Running through the back streets, hopping over fences, trying to shake the fucking canines. Running around senses, I'll probably be a mystery to many, but a legend is something. I've been a man for many women, but a husband for none. In case you see me out in traffic, looking nervous and high, my hands holding my pistols, will they serve us or die? May God forgive me for my crooked ways. I didn't mean it, knew I'd fall in love with money the first day that I seen it. Maybe now they can understand.
That reincarnation was crazy, man.
I hope you don't get in trouble with that, but
and again, this was made
in
96.
Yep.
Crazy.
I'm still hearing an echo.
Oh, what about that? Echo now?
Go ahead.
Yeah,
I don't hear nothing. Go ahead.
Okay, good. But again, like I said, every Scandalous Talk episode, man, we try to bring you a little bit of something, man, something you never heard before, something unreleased from Pac, man, again, in the vault. And again, like Scanlon, so what you're saying, like there's another 100 songs we never heard before.
Exactly. And you have all this attention, Tupac's everywhere. Why would he not drop something? You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people say, oh, you don't capitalize off death and stuff. But like he's in the news based on stuff on happening in his life from years ago. You know, it's not really capitalizing on death. It's just being a marketer and knowing when to drop stuff and maximizing right. your profit and, right. you know, your return investment. And that's why this stuff should come out, because you're missing out on all these streaming numbers and ad revenue and increasing his social media followers, which you could do if you release his fucking music.
Well, and again, it's just like anything else, man. You want to feed the fans. You want to, like I said, make that music profitable. It brings back more streams to the original stuff that he put out.
Exactly. So
again, hopefully one day, man, they give you some keys to some of this stuff, man.
And so you tell me, these last two tracks I played for you, mm-hmm. isn't that better than stuff you heard on Loyal to Game and Pac's Life?
100%, man.
Exactly.
And this is just rough stuff. It's not even like
mixed and mastered.
Mastered. Come on, man. Even like reproducing. Salute to RIP Johnny J, man. We got to do a podcast or a topic on him, man.
Yep.
His situation was legendary, man. It's a shame the way he passed, man, but he had so much in the tuck, man, for Pac.
Yep, shout out to Johnny J. You know, I follow his daughter on social media, so if you aren't familiar with that, she's on social media. You know, Johnny J was a big inspiration in my career. A lot of my sound is very much Johnny J's sound, because I try to highlight songs the way Johnny J did.
Yeah. So again, like I said, episode 3 is in the tuck, man. Scandalous Talk, man. Again, we're trying to lock down a day. Stay tuned. Again, it's DJ Scandalous on the road to 1 million on the YouTube channel. He's all over Paul's Facebook, man, and every social media. Go follow him on there, man. DJScandalous.com. My rap verse, man. Tell them where else they can find you.
So you guys can find me on Facebook. I'm on there, DJ Scandalous. I do a lot of posting on there, whether his unreleased music, you know, not posting the songs per se, but posting information about it. And I post his unreleased track list. So you can find a whole bunch of track lists from 1991 to 1996 that they didn't put out. A lot of these track lists have unreleased songs and songs he actually moved to All Eyes on Me and Machiavelli, as well as other concepts. So follow me on Facebook. You can also follow Scandalous Talk on YouTube, where a lot of these clips will be available with different headlines and stuff. So we'll get it like a QVD segment on there as well. You can also find me on the Fresh Out Hip Hop podcast show on YouTube as well. I appear on there with Fresh, you know, Iceberg and our other co-hosts, Bebo and Jay Camp. I almost said Iceberg Slim. But yeah, so you guys can follow me on there. We also have a Fresh Out Hip Hop page where we promote a lot of our old school artists like Nas, DMX, Biggie, you know, Gangster Boo, all these rappers that you may not see elsewhere. You can find on Fresh Out Hip Hop on Facebook as well.
Yeah. Hey, Jason saying, man, F it, man. Just do an unauthorized Pac album, man. Remix everything, man. Come on, man. So
I could, but the problem is, like, it won't be available to the whole world. Like, a lot of people, when I make lists and I show them unreleased music, they're like, oh, I can find that on YouTube. Oh, that's already released on YouTube. Just because it's on YouTube doesn't mean it's officially released by his estate and his record label. It's not on his albums.
Facts. So again, like I said, man, if you want to hear some dope remixes, of course, man, DJ Scandalous has them on his YouTube channel, everywhere else, man. We'll be here next week, man. We'll do another episode again. Thank you for the invite always, man, to come
talk.
We'll see you guys soon. Be safe. Any last words before we get up out of here, man?
I just want to say thank you to the chat. You know, I'm so glad that you guys are stopping through. I'm so glad that a lot of you guys have love for Pac. I see a lot of you guys coming from the Fresh Out YouTube channel as well. Yep. So I'm thankful for this community. Like I said on the Fresh Out channel, that Iceberg, you know, me meeting Iceberg was just random chance. And I was actually waiting to find people that I, you know, I could do a podcast with, because I wanted to find somebody that has love for Pac, but also has love for other East Coast and West Coast artists and isn't particularly biased, you know. And a lot of these guys that I have found from Fresh Out, like, they know their shit on every artist. Yeah. It's one of the best podcasts out. So if you guys aren't familiar with old school hip hop, go to Fresh Out Hip Hop on YouTube and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, man. Like I said, hey, again, we're going to lock down a day for this, man, so you guys get it. Again, we got an audio podcast coming to this too, right? So you'll be able to hear all this stuff on podcast version. Stay tuned. Get on the social media, djscandalous.com, man. Also, DJ Scandalous on all your social media platforms. Again, we'll see you guys next week. Scandalous Talk, man. We out, man. Peace.
out the cage. I'm pumped, dumped with the gauge. I done did it all. Everywhere I go, I ball. Precise, keep my game tight. Oh, for sure I fall. I'm the invincible. What's